Going Green
on the Clare Byrne Show
with Repack. Repack members, repackaging the future and valuing resources. Find out more on repack.ie.
So here's a question for you. Do you consider the climate when you're booking a holiday, if you're buying a car, or if you're renovating your home? Would you even know where to start to calculate the impact? Well, Sive O'Neill, climate and environmental researcher, has the answers for us now. Hello, Sive.
Good morning, Claire.
So explain to us what we are trying to figure out here.
Well, first of all, we have to think about what actually matters when we talk about climate impact. And what matters is the amount of emissions which can come as continuous flow of emissions or as little pulses when we make a purchase. So anytime we are, burning fossil fuels, we won't really get into the deforestation side of it today. But when we're burning fossil fuels, we release gases, and carbon dioxide in particular is the main greenhouse gas, and it stays in the atmosphere more or less forever. So our impact is kind of permanent, and we kid ourselves that we can offset one bad thing with some little bit of good behaviour over here, but it doesn't really work like that in terms of the physics of climate change. The impact is often permanent and it's really impossible to reverse.
So should we be asking ourselves these questions with every purchase, or how does it work?
Well, I think for every purchase, it would become very laborious and a bit draining, and it would overburden the individual, because a lot of the impacts are kind of systemic. They're to do with the infrastructure and the policies and the kind of economic system that we have. But there are some big decisions where our individual decisions at that moment in time do make a difference. And the first one, and I might be a little bit late now in early June to be talking about holiday planning, because many people would have planned their holidays earlier. But when you are making a decision about where to go and how to get there, that is the first area where you can, make a difference in terms of the choices you make. So obviously we're in Ireland, we're far away from everywhere we tend to want to go. So if we fly, there is going to be a climate impact, and that's from the fuel that's combusted, but it's also an additional impact from what's known as the radiative forcing, the impact of the aircraft in the atmosphere. So we have to account for both of that. So if you take a one-way flight, for example, from London to Edinburgh, it'd be similar enough, I'd say, from Dublin, that's about 110 kilograms. But when you add in that radiative forcing, it really doubles the impact. So by comparison, a rail journey is minute in comparison. Now, the practical option isn't always there. We can't always easily get from Ireland to the UK or mainland Europe by rail. But if you combine it with ferries, and if you're willing to make the effort to go slow travel, it is a very low climate impact. Now, there are some cons. I've done a lot of it. I've travelled all across Europe by train. You don't want to have small children in tow. It just doesn't work for them. You have a lot of connections to make. Booking the tickets is tricky.
Running through train stations.
Yes, finding lifts. If you have a lot of luggage as well, I find that it's impractical, because you, for example, you arrive in Euston Station in London, but you have to get to King's Cross to pick up the Eurostar. And that is very often, because of the timetabling, you have very little time to do that, and you wouldn't want to have lots of luggage. So there are practical considerations. But for many people, young people who are interested in travel, it's just such a shame that the cost of travelling by sail and rail is so expensive compared to flying, because the climate impact is so much less. There's, huge carbon savings to be made.
But it's often not financially attractive enough, really, to push us over the edge.
Yeah. Now, if you were booking a family holiday, a lot of people are now looking at taking the ferry to France or Spain. That is an option, and it's a lovely way to travel. It means that you would have your car with you if you arrive. Sometimes those ferries don't allow foot passengers, so you have to factor that in. How are you going to move around once you arrive in some of the destinations where we have ferry connections?
Okay. Well, listen, you've mentioned a car now, and when it comes to buying a car, we know that a lot of people are either looking at buying EVs or they've done it already. Secondhand EV market is, storming ahead. especially since the prices of fossil fuel started to go up. But what do we need to think about when it comes to our carbon footprint?
Well, thankfully, the market signal is now working much better. So there are a lot of more affordable EVs on the market than was the case even last year or the year before. But still, I think there's a myth that the carbon cost of the EV in terms of its production is so high compared to other vehicles, the standard petrol or diesel cars, that it kind of outweighs the environmental benefit. And when you actually look at the calculations, that isn't correct, because even though a battery electric vehicle is heavier because of the battery, and that means it has more weight attached to it in the manufacture and in the moving, the efficiency of it when it's in operation and the fact that you can recycle the battery at the end means that it has a much longer life. It's much more efficient. And this is aside from the cost savings, but the carbon efficiency is it's roughly half the lifetime emissions of a similar petrol or diesel car. And obviously that calculation changes on the type of vehicle. You have to compare like with like, the engine size, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Similarly with, you know, scooters and motorbikes and vans and things like that. But there is a carbon benefit, and you can actually work that out in detail using some of the carbon calculators that are available online. And they'll give you details per make and model of each car, which is very helpful.
And you can use one of those calculators to look at your overall lifestyle. You did that, didn't you?
I had a
look.
Did.
How did you
on? Now, I did it kind of fast and I was kind of fairly, whimsical. But I was shocked that I got a fairly bad rating. Now, so I'm
shocked as well.
I was surprised. But so I used a calculator that's made and available online free by WWF UK. So it uses baseline emission factors for the UK. So not everything would be straightforwardly applicable to Ireland. We have different electricity emissions efficiency and things like that. But essentially, it goes through aspects of your lifestyle, how much meat you eat, how much food you eat out. So in terms of your restaurants, takeaways, things like that, they all add up, because food waste is another category where we release methane emissions.
Of course, yeah.
So avoiding food waste is one of the things you can do at a household level that does make an impact. And then it asks about your purchase of appliances and tech like laptops and phones, things like that, and the size of your house and how it's heated. Now, I put in details from my very small terraced house, which is being renovated to a very high standard with all the insulation you could imagine. And it will have solar panels and electric heating. And it still gave me a total carbon footprint of 9.6 tonnes, which is higher than the UK average. So and that's me being more or less completely vegetarian, though not vegan. And I put in one flight to London and one flight to mainland Europe.
Well, that's probably what brought you up, because you're using public transport all of the time, or cycling.
That's right.
So you've got to imagine that scales were tipped by the two flights, maybe.
I would have to go back and do it differently to see where the increase was. But that just shows you that even, you know, leading a fairly environmentally conscious life, my footprint is 9.6 tonnes per annum. And, you know, that shows that there's a lot that I need to do, you know, to bring that down. So the slow travel, avoiding food waste, bringing my packed lunches and dropping dairy from my diet would bring me down to a vegan impact, which
hard
would
work.
Be 0.5 to 0.7 tons per annum in comparison to a full meat diet, which would give you something like about four times that.
And are you prepared to do that, given how much you do already?
Well, the way I interpret these calculators is that we have to be really honest about the impact of every decision we make. But that doesn't mean we're responsible for every decision. So we are responsible for some of it. But we don't have to be responsible for the things that are the government's responsibility or corporate responsibility. And these calculators can be used in many different settings, not just at the household level. Like a business can use them, an organization, a state agency. So we're talking about the individual household here, but the same principles should apply across the board.
I'm glad you said that, because people can feel as though, you know, they're personally responsible for everything, but there is a wider point. Sive, thank you so much. Sive O'Neill there for joining us for Going Green. That brings us to the end of the programme. If you missed anything, you can listen back on the Go Loud app. My team today, Cormac McDonagh on sound, producers Helena O'Toole, Dee King and Alex Russo. Research by David O'Connor. Our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane.
Going green on The Claire Byrne Show with Repack. Repack members. Repackaging the future and valuing resources. Find out more on repack.ie.